Yes, sir. It's good to come to church and expect things out of the ordinary to happen. Things can't happen in the same order. Amen. You may be seated. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. This morning, I want to impart some things to you that will help us as a body to prepare for what God has in store for us. Apostle gave us the word, or multiple words, for 2020. We've only just begun. And then the year 2020 is the year of plenty, plenty. And so I want to spend a few moments this morning and really share the purpose of LTMA and what, how you're going to benefit from it. For those of you that don't know, the area that Apostle and the body of Christ really focuses on is the area of finances. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's strange, to me, of, why God would call him in a small place, relatively unknown, and all the odds stacked against him. And then I can remember in Orlando when he said he saw himself at 96 still ministering to ministers. And the Lord began to deal with me when he reminded him of that this week, and I heard him say that. The Lord began to deal with me, and he had been dealing with me since the middle of last year, is that we as ministers must position ourselves to get out of survivor mode. What I mean by that, oxygen is important. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
So then why you don't get up in the morning looking for oxygen?
Yes, sir.
LTMA has been designed to get ministers out of survival mode because turn to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whether you know it or not, the presence of God is in this place.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the first verse. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and watch this, and stewards of the mysteries of God." What are the mysteries of God? The mysteries of God is your future. Unknown facts about your future, they're in the mind of God. So that's why Paul alluded to them as the mysteries of God. But we can access the mind of God, so they don't need to stay as mysteries. Verse 2 is where I want to get to. Verse 1, remember I said stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul comes back in verse 2 and says something that's very powerful. He said, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, full of faith. are full of his assignment. It's required. It's not an option. It is required. Go with me to Luke, the 16th chapter. This is the Apostle Paul saying that we as ministers are stewards of the mysteries of God. That's unknown facts about the future. Other words, people are depending on us to reveal unknown facts about the future. But Paul said in verse 2, moreover, it is required that a steward be found faithful, full of faith, trustworthy. Somebody who is consistent. Somebody who's not wavering. Luke, the 16th chapter. So I begin to, it began to make sense to me why God would choose an apostle in an unknown place with all the odds stacked against him and placing a grace on him, placing an assignment on him to begin to deal with finances, right? Yes, and then add to that and begin to add another assignment in ministering to ministers. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Luke, the 16th chapter. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and senators for to hear him, meaning Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man is receiving sinners and eateth with them. All right. So this is a certain, Jesus is getting ready to minister to a certain group of people. All right. So he did in chapter 15. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. The crowd changed. And he said unto his disciples, these are people that are following him, yes, right? Yes, out of the disciples will come the apostles, yes, all right? Jesus went on to give them a parable, which I don't have time. I can go back over it later if I have time. Give them parable of a steward, yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. Then he gets to verse 10. He says, he that is faithful. We've heard that word before, correct? Yes. Where have we heard that word before? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. We already know he's talking about stewards. Because that's what the parable was about. Now you got to notice who he's talking to. He's talking to disciples. Who will become apostles. Who will be part of the fivefold ministry gifts. So this is not an ordinary conversation. He said in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Verse 11, who is he talking to? Disciples. People that he's training to become. People, he's training these people to help propagate his gospel, what he's about to go do. He's training them to do that, right? He said, if you're faithful in the much, in the least, you'll be faithful in the much. If you're unjust in the least, you're unjust in the much. Look at verse 11. He said, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust? So therefore, in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the first verse, if we're going to be stewards of the mysteries of God, Paul prefaced that by saying that you must be required, it's required that if you're going to be a steward, that you be found faithful. Faithful over what? Faithful over this money. God tests us whether we can go to the next level in the anointing based on how we handle the money on the level we're on. This is why Apostle has been assigned to teach us about finances. Because if we can't be faithful in the least,
If we can't be faithful in the least, then God only knows that we're not going to be faithful in the much. This is Jesus talking to his future leaders. Is this making sense? Oxygen is important to you. So why you don't get up looking for it? Because it's plentiful. Oxygen becomes important when then you need to get some. Like when you go running, you're working out, that air get thin on you. Or somebody with asthma, oxygen becomes important to them. When they're when the passages and things begin to close, it's important to them. We have to get to a point as ministers that we treat money the same way we treat oxygen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It's important, but I don't get up looking for it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
James, the first chapter. See, a pathway, and I'm from the country, and you know, you go into the woods, you know, sometimes trees are overgrown, and you know, you need to have access back to the woods. So what they would do was cut a pathway. Now, it always took longer for the people who were gone or the person who was gone to cut the pathway. It always took longer for them to get to a point in the woods because they had to cut the path first. Right. But it was for the benefit of everybody that comes behind that's willing to follow the same path. And they could do it at a quicker pace. But they got to follow the same path. Because if you go to another area of the woods where it wouldn't be cut at, it's going to take you just as long as it took the person who already cut the path. So a path has already been cut. What it took him 25 years to do, it shouldn't take us 25. But that don't mean we're going to do it a different way. We got to go down the same path. We got to go through the same tests. All of us have to go through the wilderness. But the problem with the wilderness is there's a preconceived notion that in the wilderness they're struggling. The only reason why you are with God and you struggle in the wilderness is because you just don't want to listen. The children of Israel walked around 40 years because they just wouldn't listen. But then you had Joshua and Caleb who was listening and was willing to walk those 40 years and was thriving. Yes, not just surviving, thriving.
Yes, sir.
And they'll forget, Hurricane Katrina hit, and he don't realize how much this statement changed my life. I still remember it. Pastor Walker, Apostle allowed Pastor Walker and his family to come stay at our house. And he got there. He remembered the amount. I know it was a significant amount. He remembered. He walked to Apostle and said, Apostle, I'm sowing this seed because I'm not about to get in survivor mode. And I began to ponder, he not getting in survivor mode. Why would it look like it's one of the, seem like be the worst times in his life? Seeming like all is lost. He turns around and has a seed and said, I'm not getting in survival mode. Now, listen, this is where a lot of us miss it. Because watch, there are four things that I'm going to try to get to this morning. Four things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do before you even get to your seed.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir.
It's three things he did
yes, sir.
To prepare him for that moment.
Yes, sir. Right.
See, a lot of us sowing seeds out of survival mode. That's what makes the wilderness seem like a struggle.
Yes, sir. Dr. Thompson, preach it, sir.
James 1. James, the first chapter, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now go back to Luke. Go back to Luke. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Go back to Luke 16. Look at verse 13. It says, no man can serve. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. What it says, you cannot serve God and mammon.
Yes, sir.
So that means that our focus is going to have to be on what God wants.
Yes, sir.
And if we don't get out of survival mode, every time you step up to the pulpit, every time you have a chance to minister, every time you have a chance for God to use you mightily, if you're not totally focused, you're worried about the offering. You're concerned about if my knee's going to get met. Then you can't fully preach the word of God focused. Because that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It says, moreover, it's required in the steward that a man be found
faithful,
trustworthy. Are you going to say what God is telling you to say, or are you going to say what it needs to raise his offering? This is why El Teme was, because if we the leaders don't get a hold of this unrighteous mammon, how can we expect our people to?
Right.
And that's why our people go to the outside world to get information on how to become rich.
Yes, sir.
Now I don't sound like I'm fussing, do I? I don't want to sound like I'm fussing. I really don't. I don't want to sound like I'm fussing. I get excited when I say some things because I want to emphasize it, but I don't want to sound like I'm fussing. Because there's some people here that's doing this now. There's some people in here that are doing it right, and people that are endeavoring to do it right. I just want to get us in a point to where we do things on purpose. See, remember now, the path has already been cut. So don't worry about time, when it's going to happen to me, when it's going to happen for me. Listen, if you follow the path, you ain't gonna have to cut down no trees. It'd be easy for you to hear the voice of God and not have to cut down trees. It's more difficult to try to hear the voice of God and cut down trees. Ask Abraham. It took Abraham a couple of events in his life till he realized that God was his source. That's when Melchizedek showed up. Because he told him, I'm not gonna say you made me rich. You, if I take something from you, you're going to say you may be rich. It's God and God alone who did it.
Yes,
the path has already been cut.
Yes,
but our focus, we have to position ourselves. You have to, yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. You have to position yourself to where your focus is about what he wants.
Yes, sir.
We have to get the same way we feel about oxygen. The same way we have to feel about money.
Yes, sir.
Is money important? Yes, it's important. But it's not important for me to get off of what I'm called to do.
Yes, sir.
Because according to Matthew 6:33,
yes, sir. Come on.
Amen.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Come on, sir.
Is this making?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians, it says,
Moreover, it required that a steward be found faithful. Go to Joel, the second chapter. See, we have to get out of survival mode.
Yes, sir.
We can't, as preachers, as ministers of the gospel, as those that are carriers of the mystery of God, we cannot be in survival mode. We cannot be in a position to when we stand before the people, we even they're often even crossing our minds. Because then when it crossed my mind, I'm double-minded.
Yes, sir.
There's some things that we're going to have to put do that doesn't seem spiritual, but it will position us for the supernatural.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I told you turn Joel 2.
Yes, sir.
Let me get there. I know it's in here. Yeah, I got to use my index sometime. What is after? There it is, Hosea. There it is, Joel 2. That's all right, just follow me. Joel 2, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you, verse 23, the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Afterwards. After what? Come on, preachers. After what happens? After the money has been faithfully stewarded. Because Jesus said in training his disciples who was about to be apostles, if I can't trust you in the least. Let's make it plain. What does faithful really mean? Faithful just simply means, can you hear the voice of God? So moreover, it's required that a steward who's supposed to be a steward over the mysteries of God. It moreover is required that a steward can hear the voice of God in the least. Now, here's the wonderful thing about it. Only you can determine if you can hear from God or not. Because your results going to tell. And here's the wonderful thing about it. Is I don't care where you at financially. The least. If you think you're at your least,
yes, sir,
just start hearing God where you are.
Right there.
Just start hearing God where you are.
Yes, sir.
There are four things that you have to manage before you even get to managing your seed. Seed is the last thing, because if you don't manage these three other things, you'll never get to your seed. Number one, it's going to seem simple, but you're going to have to manage your consumption.
Come on, doctor. Yes, sir.
All right, Galatians 5.
Galatians 5. Go there. Galatians 5.
Yes, sir.
See, God, if you can't hear God to determine what is seed and what is not. How can God trust you to go tell this person that he's given you authority over what to do? Jesus said in Luke 16, if you're not faithful in the least, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
Right, right.
So the money can't be the true riches. Jesus is the prototypical Christian. He's the first one. He's the one that set the example. Apostle said something in the Prosperity Revival that struck me, and it caused me to reevaluate my life. Not that he don't say that stuff all the time, but I just reevaluate my life that time. Amongst the many other times I'll reevaluate my life. He said, prosperity demonstrations are always happening to you. I can biblically prove that. Jesus, being the first Christian to ever exist, as soon as he was born, he hadn't done nothing. As soon as he was born, money began to look for him. As soon as you got born again, I don't care what denomination you got born again in. I don't care where it was. As soon as you got born again, money started looking for you. Now, money began to look for you, but the issue is, did I recognize it? You may be seated. May be seated. So, money cometh has already been in existence.
Yes, sir.
But what money cometh is to us through our man of God is a prophetic wake-up call.
Yes, sir.
It's a prophetic wake-up call for you to become awake to who you really are and what's really been happening to you.
Yes, sir.
See, when Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed us and put us back in a position of wealth. Just like he put us back in a position of health. It's like he put us back in a relationship with God, our Father, our original creator.
You break that.
But being in that position, remember now, he redeemed us. Putting us back in that position. Well, watch this. We're in the same position that Adam and Eve was in before the fall, right? Adam and Eve was in a position before they messed up was they had all the dominion but no knowledge.
Yeah, right.
So they were supposed to let God walk them through it.
Yeah.
So even though you are redeemed, you still gonna have to let the Holy Spirit walk you through the wilderness. Jesus redeemed us. So that means we're no longer bound by poverty because of our sin nature. So you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you break the strongholds that you have on yourself. It ain't the devil no more. It ain't the devil no more. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. Ask the fifth child. It ain't the devil no more. No, 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 no. You got strongholds on yourself. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know. Acts the fifth chapter. Oh, no, we're not about to get the devil involved in this one. Jesus eliminated him at the cross.
Yeah.
Acts, the fifth chapter. I hope all LTM made the ones we. I hope they listening. I hope all of them listening. Hope all of them listening, because this morning we're gonna find out where the money gonna come from for the travel. We're gonna find out where the money come from to build buildings. We're gonna find out where the money come to do what God called us to do. Listen. Let me, last night, Apostle was talking about some numbers. We just changed donor management systems, and a lady was training my wife on it, and she said, "I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I have never seen this. You find very few organizations that got all 50 states supporting them." Then she said she ran a report called a retention report. Donors that, people that commit partners, we call them partners, they call them donors, retention, that stays. The average is at 40%. Ours is at 61%. Now, I need you to hear me, There's a reason that's methodical. There's a reason why that happens. It's a reason. All right, before we go to Acts 5th chapter, go to 1 Corinthians 9. I receive, sir. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. This is why we can't be double-minded. This is why Apostle teaching us about the seed, teaching us about our rightful place as wealthy men and women of God. This is why, because until we get past survival mode, we can't go no deeper. This is why the MVBs talk to, that's why, and this is why first we talk, see, people don't know what we do. We talk amongst ourselves about what we gonna do about Founders Day. Yes, now listen, before I start talking about this, if you think I'm talking about Founders Day or Major Arc Day, I got some place I can tell you to go, but I'm really not allowed to tell you. I can't tell you. I can sit down, I don't tell you. All right, preachers, we all preachers. All preachers, we know. A harvest can't happen without a what?
Seed.
Right? A harvest can't happen without a seed, right? But a seed is unproductive without ground. So how can you believe that for your ministry if you can't believe for nobody else's ministry? See, so therefore, we as preachers, we have to realize, I'm going to jump from scripture. Go back to Luke 16. Watch, Luke 16. Then we're going to come back to the other one. Then we're going to come back to the other one. Luke 16, watch this, verse 13. Luke 16, verse 13. Watch what it says. If you're not faithful in that which is another man, who gonna give you that which is your own? So in other words, what God is saying is, I'm sorry, verse 12. What I'm saying is, if you cannot hear the voice of God for another person, in other words, if you can't hear the voice of God concerning your seed given to somebody else, God is not obligated to touch nobody's heart to give no seed into your ground. Not obligated. If you're not faithful in that, which this is why we have Founders Day. This is why we have Matriarchs Day. So that ground can be created so that you can practice what you want to preach. You may be seated. Acts the fifth chapter.
Yes, sir.
All right, now remember now, the devil is no longer a part of this.
He's out.
When Jesus got up on that third day, he was in trouble. He was in trouble when Jesus was on the cross, but he didn't realize that Jesus got up on the third day. So he is not out of he's out of this situation. He's out of the picture.
Yes, sir.
All right, so no longer are you going to blame the devil when it comes to your money. Acts the fifth chapter. Most of y'all know this story, and a lot of preachers read this story to scare people into giving. But that's not even the purpose of the story. Acts the fifth chapter. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it.
and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Yeah. Why, just verse 4. See, watch this. Verse 4 is important. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, what Peter was asking Ananias is, after the land sold, didn't you have control of the money? Didn't you have control of the money? So if you are in control of the money, why you let somebody come talk you into doing something that you ain't supposed to do with it? All right, number one, control your consumption. Everything for sale. Everything is for sale. Everything is for sale. Stop letting the world system define prosperity for you. Because the same system that's trying to define prosperity for you is telling you you don't have enough. So they keep selling you stuff. They keep advertising to you. They keep telling you need this. Oh, they keep showing you the guy with the slick back hair in the drop top saying, hey, if you want to be wealthy, this is what you're going to have to drive. So in your subconscious, you're saying, maybe I need to get that, even if you can't afford it. And so Satan is talking you out of your management skills. Everything is for sale. See, that's why Luke 21:19 is important. In your patience, possess you your soul. When that prosperity demonstration comes, you have to walk in patience. So that you give God a chance to talk to you. First, you got to open the door for God to talk to you about this money. Because most of the time, the problem is the money is spent for it to get there. I don't mind you having plans in the future for your money, but the question is, can God come change them plans? Yes, that's the test. Yes, can God come in and tell you to do something different with the money than you had planned? Right. Because then if you can hear his voice to change your plans, right, then he know he can trust you even further. Yes, everybody has to go through the wilderness. You don't have to struggle when you're going through the wilderness. If you're struggling when you're going through the wilderness, it's because you just ain't listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I don't care who ever. Listen, what I'm telling you now, even apostle got to abide by this. Yes, he's at his least right now. It may be a lot to us, but that's his least. So he got to be faithful in the least. That should give you hope. If I'm faithful where I am now. See, so, all right, number two. What second thing you got to manage? Number one, consumption. Number two, you got to manage your relationships. You got to manage your relationships. You can't hang around nobody who talk broke. Which means you preachers got to get out of them chitlin' circuits. Stop hanging with them same preachers that ain't going nowhere, ain't looking to go nowhere, just won't do the same thing. Number two, you got to, watch this, manage your relationships. You got to find out who you connected to, because according to Genesis 12 and 3, you can't find your wealthy place until you found somebody who's found their wealthy place. You got to be able to manage who's around you. You have to recognize, and it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. The way I always find out who's supposed to be around me and who's not supposed to be around me is simply by sticking to the agenda that God has given me, staying connected to the agenda. Because if anybody's supposed to be connected to me, they're going to believe the same thing I believe. If they ain't supposed to be connected to me, they're going to fall off by the wayside. And guess what? I'm going to let them fall off by the wayside. You have to manage your relationships. You have to, preachers, you have to, I'm talking to preachers, we preachers, right? You have to manage your relationships. You can't hang around the same preachers that don't want to go nowhere, do nothing. You have to separate yourself. Elisha separated himself. Because if you want to go someplace you've never been before, you're going to have to do some things you've never done before. And if you keep hanging around people that ain't trying to change what they do, you're going to stay in the same place. Them little associations, they ain't going nowhere in your cities. Ain't doing nothing. They just want to meet and be pat each other back. Pastor, evangelist, teacher, just pat themselves in the back. Remember I said you have to manage your consumption?
Yes, sir.
You have to recognize, you every prosperity demonstration. See, money been coming to you ever since you got born again.
Yes.
If you look back over your life, money has been coming to you
the whole time. Yes, sir.
Even in God's mercy, sometimes you ain't deserve it. You ain't sowed no seed for it. The money still was coming. But if you don't manage your consumption and manage your relationships. So now watch this. I have to manage my consumption, manage my relationship. I'm talking to preachers, right? You're going to have to get out the chitlin' circuit, which means you're going to have to stop swapping pulpits unnecessarily. I knew I wasn't going to hit it. Y'all be going to be seated because I don't want to be seated. Watch this, because I got to work with this one. If a person cannot raise the spiritual water level in your house, why did you bring them in? When they leave, you'll be able to have something to work with that your people, everybody, boat rises. Or are you inviting them because they invited you? Because now that don't make no sense. Here's why that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense because watch this. You had to spend money to give them an honorarium. You're supposed to be. Some of these jackleg jokers though. That's another whole subject. That's another whole subject on honor. I'm not even going there. And I don't want to get the fussing. You're supposed to be giving honorarium. You're supposed to be honoring them. You're supposed to take care of their expenses. How they got there. They drove gas. If you flew plane tickets. However they got there. Right? You feed them while they're there. Don't bring nobody to your house and don't feed them. Right? All that investment you made, did the spiritual water level in your house change? If not, you just mismanage your consumption.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Notice I didn't shift it from your personal house to God's house. Are we getting, you're saying
yes, sir.
This? You got to manage your consumption. You have to manage your relationships.
Yes, sir.
Third thing, you have to manage your obedience.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, obedience has to be managed. What I mean by managed, go to Isaiah 1 and 19. See, so by me managing my consumption, managing my relationships, and managing my obedience, I will always have seed. Okay, I'm going to take my time. Go to Isaiah 119. It's managing your obedience. If you be
willing
and obedient. Willing. Willing. That's managing your obedience. Not just doing it, but you have to be willing. Willing means that you have made up your own mind that this is what I want to do. I'm not just doing this because God told me to do it. He told me to do it, but I'm making my mind up. This is what I want to do. Because if I make up my mind this is what I want to do, then God know I'm faithful. I can be trusted.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now watch this. I didn't say you started off wanting to. See, Satan ain't got nothing to do with this. So you got to convince yourself. You got to work on your own soul. You got to work on your own thought process. That's why you got to manage your relationship. Because you can't have nobody around you that's going to stop you or hinder you from managing your obedience. Is that making sense? So if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You have to manage your obedience. Whatever he says to you. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. Watch this. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. Almost finished. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. How many are being helped? Now, here's one of the things you got to do. You're going to have to focus on your own business. Mind your business. Don't worry about what the person on the left is doing. Don't worry about the person on the right is doing. You got to mind your own business. Mind your business. Mind your business. You first, 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, make up your own mind. Let every man purpose it in his own heart. Make up your own mind. Don't worry about what nobody else doing. Not only do not worry about what nobody else doing, don't worry about what nobody else getting. One of the most powerful books that Apostle had me to read. Apostle had me to read. Thank you, sir. Apostle had me to read was Pulling Your Own Strings. Man, I don't care what nobody else say, do, or think. Ain't nobody victimizing me. Ain't nobody controlling me. Everybody's instruction to me is an opinion till I make an instruction. I have to make up my own mind. Are you getting this? So I don't care what nobody else get. I don't care how much God blesses somebody else. Matter of fact, one of the quickest ways you can get out of jealousy and to get out of envy is to compliment people. Oh, managing relationships. I know I'm jumping back, but managing relationships. Stay around from competitive people. All preachers, y'all know them. Y'all know them, the preachers, competitive. Just, well, God is doing this through me. I don't care. Just keep doing what God is doing through you. So if you, see what happens is you can't hang around preachers who are competitive. Because when you hang around preaching a competitor, they'll make you think you ain't doing nothing. They'll make you think you ain't doing nothing. So I don't hang around competitive people. I manage my relationships. If I have somebody always trying to tell me what they got, how they got this, and trying to preach to me about this and that and all it, I'm not hanging around you. Because then eventually you're going to get into my environment. You're going to get into my thought process and make it seem like I ain't doing nothing. Then I begin to question myself. So instead of me allowing myself to question myself, I eliminate everybody who make me try to question myself. You're not going to victimize me. See, this doesn't seem like too much spiritual things. But it's these what you perceive as non-spiritual things that will let you into the supernatural. Because if we don't handle these things, we can't access the true riches. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter and the 10th verse. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, here it is. The Apostle Paul is telling us that God will give us seed, right? That's always having prosperity demonstrations. So now, if an opportunity comes and God taps me on the shoulder. Notice who I said tap you on the shoulder?
God
taps you on the shoulder.
Yes, sir.
And tells you to give this amount. And then you turn around and tell God, I don't have it.
Uh-huh.
Somebody lying.
Right.
Somebody lying.
Right.
It's either God didn't give it to you or you mismanaged it. And God will come tap you on your shoulder on purpose and ask you for it because he know he gave it to you. Because he's trying to test to see if you can hear his voice. Can you determine, can you distinguish what is seed and what is for consumption? Because if you can pass those tests, then he know he can give you the mysteries.
Yes, sir.
I think, look, it's written in red in Luke. It's written in red. Jesus talking to his disciples, future preachers, future apostles, future prophets, future teachers, future evangelists, future pastors. Jesus talking to them, and Jesus said, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit you? This is why apostle talks about finances to us so much. At the same time, he practicing what I talked about earlier. Money is like oxygen to him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So when he is stepping up and ministering, it ain't nowhere on his mind about what he gonna get.
Right.
It ain't nowhere on his mind about what got to be done in his ministry.
Right.
You know. Just the other day, we were trying to show Apostle the new system. We excited about the new system, and we trying to show him the new system. He said, "I don't want to see that." He said, "I don't want to see that because I don't want to see what the people giving." He said, I don't want that to be on my mind.
Yes, sir.
He said, I don't want to see that. Y'all take care of it. I don't want to see that. So when he steps to the pulpit, it's laser focus. He free. Not a care in the world. But it came from, all these things I'm telling you, he managed his consumption. See, the path has been cut. Manage his consumption. See, oh yeah, you see him. Oh yeah, see, that's the problem. We see him now. You know, you see him now, you see him, I can get that, no problem. But you ain't seen when, I was reading a book about 2 weeks ago. And in the business world, this man says it takes about 9 to 10 years of sacrifice before you establish your business.
Yes, sir. Wow.
There is a period of sacrifice when you're on the backside of the mountain.
Yes, sir.
When you're in the wilderness. God was trying to see if Moses was going to respond to that burning bush.
Yeah.
If he's going to hear God, is he going to pay attention to the burning bush or are you going to hear my voice in the burning bush?
Right.
God is trying to see, and the way God tests us is how we hear his voice with one of the most influential things we have in the earth realm.
Right.
Money is very influential.
Yes,
so God said, if you can hear my voice concerning this money, I know you can hear my voice concerning the supernatural. So this is why Apostle focuses on finances. This is why he's trying to get us to understand the seed, understand how to hear the voice of God when it concerns our finances. Because you have no problem getting the mantle. You have no problems with increasing the anointing. Jesus said it himself. If you are faithful in the unrighteous mammon, I will commit to you. 1 Corinthians, I'll close here. 1 Corinthians. The ninth chapter. I said we're going to go to it. We never got a chance to go to 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. And I'm closing here. Paul said something that's very powerful.
Yes, sir.
In ninth chapter, in verse 11, I got here in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians 9 and 11, and 2 Kings 12 are first cousins. In 2 Kings, the 12th chapter, King Joash told the people, y'all start bringing money so we can repair and bring it to the temple so we can repair the temple. Then it says after 23 years, the temple was not repaired. Joash said, don't none of y'all bring no more money. Don't bring no more money. The priests can't be trusted. Don't bring no more money. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a chest here. I'm going to drill a hole in it. Y'all bring the money and put it in here, and we're going to take care of repairing the breach of the house. Listen, don't get yourself put out of stewardship.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to worry about the IRS if you're hearing the voice of God concerning your finances. You ain't got to worry about if you're doing what God told you to do with the money. You ain't got to worry about the IRS. You ain't got to run around scared of the IRS if you're doing what God told you to do with the money. The Holy Spirit always, Jesus didn't have to worry about the commandments.
Yes, sir.
He was.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus didn't have to worry about whether he could remember the Ten Commandments or not. Because
right.
He was.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to worry about whether you're doing right or wrong with the money if you follow the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
1 Corinthians 9, there's a reason why this minister has 61% retention in their donors. There's a reason. There's a reason why all 50 states are supporting. That's not even talking about foreign countries. There's a reason why. Here's the reason why. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. The Apostle Paul talked to the Corinthians, and he said this, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal? The Apostle Paul saying, because what we're telling you is causing you to go be successful, we have a right to reap of your success. Now watch this. Let's take the opposite. Because we read the scripture, but you got to learn to take the, you got to flip-flop the scripture, you got to take the opposite. If I'm not telling you, importing you, that will cause you to go be successful, then I have no right to reap of your carnal.
Yes,
sir. Apostle said a statement like that, we can't milk the people.
Right.
We have to minister to the people.
Right.
If you minister to the people and love the people, and watch this, this is why you have to manage your consumption.
Yeah.
Manage your relationship, manage your obedience, because if you're in a position to where you ain't got to milk the people, and you love on the people and teach the people, the people will grow. When the people grow, God will touch their hearts to reciprocate back to you.
Yes.
We got people in 50 states. We don't talk to them people every day.
Right.
We're not on TV. Watch this. We're not even on TV.
Right.
We're not on TV.
Right.
We're not on TV with all these marketing plans.
Right.
I hope y'all listening.
Yes.
We're not on TV with all these marketing plans. We got this package, and we got this package, and we got this water, and we got this handkerchief. We ain't got none of that. Because in his private time, he's behind closed doors. He ain't got to focus on the money. So if he ain't got to focus on the money, he can focus all on God. So you focus all on God. God can trust you. You're faithful. He can reveal the mysteries. He can reveal to you things that other people don't know, that you can share with other people that will cause them to be successful. And when they go be successful, God reminds them, remember who told you that. Remember how you got this. And God calls and reciprocate. That's how ministry works. You don't have all the marketing plans, all these marketing gimmicks. If you, I don't care if you got a church of five people. If you preach to them five people, love on them five people, call them five people to grow, you can take over the city. You don't need 100,000 people to get what God wants to get done. Look, you don't need all the people. God never used a big crowd. But if you love the people,
yes,
if you minister to the people, if you cause the people to grow,
yes,
God will touch their hearts and cause reciprocation to take place. But we preachers have to get out of, so you know, you can't, when you're preaching, you're imparting.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're double-minded, you're imparting desperosity.
Right.
Oh, you don't know you'll release your spirit every time you preach? Every time you preach, you're releasing your spirit. So people have spirits too. And they might see the anointing sometimes and part of the way, but then other times they're going to see, man, this man desperate. This woman desperate. And they clench on to their purse. They clench on to their wallet. But when you are focused, listen, I'm closing with this. We have to hear the voice of God. God ain't ever said, build it and they will come. God never said that. He never said that. Kevin Costner said that in the Field of Dreams.
That's right.
God never said to build it and they will come. So why are we taking revelation to go build buildings that we're not yet ready for? We make moves trying to get in buildings so we can appear to be successful. Manage your consumption. Manage your relationships. Manage your obedience. And then you can manage your seed.